Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here. We're still talking blue-white. We're still talking Penn State in the spring. Some storylines that emerged primarily from the blue-white game. We're calling it fact or fiction, whether we think it's going to impact the team's fortunes in 2018. And in some cases, you know, like Mac Hippenhammer in the previous segment, it's hard to believe that he impacts the team's chances in 2018. But I think he proved that maybe beyond that, he could do more than we anticipated. He was kind of one of those lost guys, so to speak, on a crowded depth chart. Doesn't feel as lost anymore. So we're just looking at what's legitimate and what's not legitimate from what we saw at the blue-white game. Defensively, I think the conversation here really starts at the linebacker spots. And I don't know, just from a broad sense, I came away from blue-white feeling better about Penn State's linebacker picture than I did going in, which I don't know if I'm jumping to conclusions or going a little bit too far, but the young guys, the freshmen, looked pretty good to me, Greg.
Yeah, no question about it. And I've said before that I was as guilty as anyone about Jesse Lucade. I just wasn't sure if he was a guy that could come in and make an immediate impact. But I think the one thing that we noticed is that, yeah, he can if they want him to. I mean, and they might not want him to. They might want to space out their linebacker group a little bit more. But the other thing I'll say is you have to win on special teams. And if you feel like he's a guy that can help you win on special teams, and Phil Galliano talked about this after the spring game, basically saying that, hey, you know, you guys might look at it as if you don't get a freshman XYZ reps at his position, you wasted having him as a redshirt. But we look at it as he might get, you know, 10 reps a game on special teams plus whatever else you got him. So there's a lot of value there as well, and Lucada could be one of the guys that do it.
He's a guy, I know he enrolled in January, but I feel like if this were the spring of his redshirt freshman season, I would feel really confident in saying that he's your middle linebacker. But to not have any game reps, to still be in the early stages of trying to diagnose and understand the playbook enough to know what your own responsibilities are, let alone what the responsibilities and duties of your other teammates should be, it's a little bit much. And I think that, I don't know, that kind of factors in why Micah Parsons started in the middle and he moved outside. I don't think Lucada is going to play in the middle, but I think that he's good enough to play any of those three linebacker spots. He's also good enough to play special teams. It seemed that he emerged to me as a guy that you're going to burn his red shirt. One way or another, I'm not sure what exactly Penn State's going to get out of him, but it would be hard to believe that he's not one of Penn State's six best linebackers this year.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I certainly would say that's fact. So, yeah, Penn State could certainly get him out there, especially if Jake Cooper's going to continue to be banged up, if there's anybody else that gets hurt. So, yeah, I think so. I think you're right on the money with that.
But you do raise an interesting and fair point there about how are you going to stagger out your eligibilities. Are you going to just say, give me the best guys now and we'll reload, we'll worry about later? Or are you really going to be mindful of the big picture when it comes to a guy like this, who I think he's going to prove that he's one of your better guys?
Yeah, no question. To me, it'll probably come down to injuries. And I think that at the end of the day, there's some guys in Penn State's linebacker room that have struggled with injuries. And thus, Jesse Lucada will see the field based upon that.
What about, speaking of linebackers, Micah Parsons, your first game action, quote-unquote game action from him, where you saw the physical stuff that you wanted to see, I think. You saw somebody who was just – he was playing the game at a little different speed than almost everybody around him.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. He was a guy that really was probably among the biggest standouts to me. And I think that the question now becomes a matter of reps and role and how does Penn State balance – really a talented guy with the fact that there's a lot of other talented guys fighting for time at that as well. So it'll be interesting to see.
And then, you know, there's guys at linebacker who we still just don't know. Braylon Faison Walden, Daylon Darien, Braylon Franklin. Jarvis Miller is further along, but he's still making that transition to linebacker. And we saw with Koa Farmer that you can't take that transition from safety to linebacker for granted. So there's still some question marks there, but I think the two freshmen emerging is a really good thing. One thing that stood out to me after the blue-white game was you had a lot of Parsons' teammates being asked and commenting about physically just how freakish he is. Mm-hmm. But then Brent Pry wasn't really talking about his physical attributes. It was more talking about things like desire and him wanting to be great. It just struck me as a good if your coach is saying that and all your teammates are saying, wow, he's a freak, it's a pretty good intersection there, the hyperbole, the talk about Micah Parsons after that game.
Yeah, how about it? I mean, I think that, you know, the interesting thing with Micah is that Penn State's going to always have to sort of answer questions about him, whether he's, doing well, not doing well, on the field a lot, not on the field a lot. So he's always going to be front and center. And how does he handle that, that stress that comes with it, I guess you could say. So, yeah, I mean, I thought the comments made after the Blue White game were interesting about his development. And, you know, he just continues to take little steps forward one step at a time. And I think he's doing well so far. So he's through his first semester now, or will be by the end of the week. So that's a plus as well.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking Penn State football, looking back at the blue-white spring game a little bit. Some things that we saw now on the defensive side of the ball. The linebacker picture is one worth watching. We know that. The defensive tackle rotation is another one that I don't know what to make of it just yet. You did see some flashes from Damian Barber that suggests that probably not 2018, but he's an interesting player, Greg. I think you saw some things that maybe only he's capable of doing because of I don't know what their measurables are in terms of like wingspan, but 6'3", 278 is what Barber's listed at. I think his wingspan is longer than that.
I think so too, yeah.
And I think that makes him really unique. Like, he's not ready yet. He's still raw, and he's moving inside from defensive end and all that. But I'm really intrigued by the upside of both his quickness and what he can do with those long arms of his.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's really got big too. I mean, he's one of these guys that almost takes a Kevin Givens path where you're just shooting up the ranks seemingly really, really quickly. So,
but he looks good.
He does look good. Yeah. He does not look like a bad 280 pounds or whatever he is. So I don't see any reason why he can't make a splash this year. He's obviously probably learning the finer points of playing defensive tackle, which is tough adjustment, but I think he could be an impact player for them that does this year. I really do.
And somebody's got to emerge here. So, right. So the dynamic, right. Not that we're telling you anything you don't know, but Robert Windsor, Kevin Givens, you're 1-2 there. You feel good about that. All bets are off after that. I think there's a lot of good buzz for Antonio Shelton, who's a redshirt sophomore this year, who can jump in there as like the three or the four in the rotation. But, you know, can you truly, as a fan, be penciling in Ellison Jordan for much at this point? I think if the best case scenario plays out and Jordan and Shelton both grab those jobs and run with them, you're in pretty good shape. But at the same time, who knows if that scenario? And the other thing is they want to go more than four deep. So now you're getting into guys who have never played before one way or another. So where is Damian Barber really further away than Corey Bolds and Fred Hansard? Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I would think Fred Hansard's probably ahead of both of those two guys. And then Corey Bolds is probably a little bit of Damian Barber. And then Damian's probably the third one because of just the fact that he hasn't played as much as the other two, and especially on a defensive tackle. So, yeah, it'll be a tight race, though. It really will, Dustin. I think that all those guys are fighting for reps, and they're going to have to fend off some really, really, really good newcomers, PJ Mustafa and Aeneas Hawkins.
Yeah, there's guys coming, Judge Culpepper, too. There's guys coming. That competition is here's the factor fiction for you. It's still a long way from being settled.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
The one guy that James Franklin could not wait to talk about after this game was Zach McPherson. And, I think the cornerback depth chart is pretty well set ahead of him. And, you know, look at Amani Oruorie and John Reed as, let's say, your probable starters. Tariq Castro-Fields, a starter caliber, whether that's an official designation or an unofficial designation, whether he's number two or number three, whatever. But I think Zach McPherson is your number four. And I think that Zach McPherson, you know, his emergence behind the scenes, so to speak, was one of the reasons that Lamont Wade was able to be moved to safety. I think Tarik Caster Fields, great. But I think Penn State would not have made the move with Lamont Wade if they didn't feel good about somebody cycling up into that that top three or four.
Yeah.
And Zach McPherson, you know, for my money, looks like that's all fact there, the way that he looked in that game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's a guy that, again, we start to wonder if he might be passed over by some of the new guys coming in, but then he has a really, really nice blue-white game, and suddenly everything looks to be just fine. So, yeah, we'll see how that one plays out. But that corner room is pretty interesting, too. There's a lot of guys that again, are sort of in that position where they're really close to being on the line of falling off the potential for big playing time board. So we'll see. He's in that category. He has to have a good summer now, too.
Speaking of, you know, as we're looking at the secondary, the safety room, Garrett Taylor looked like the probable starter. I don't think anything came about in the blue-white game that made me think any differently than that. Lamont Wade still has to work to close the gap. There's a gap there. Garrett Taylor.
Yeah.
And probably Nick Scott are your starters at safety. What I saw was, you know, to frame it around this discussion was, it's a fact that Taylor and Scott are your probable week one guys.
Yeah, oh, I would think so. Yeah, I mean, at this point, unless one of them either gets hurt or has an enormous falling off in the summer, while Wade and Sutherland, one of them would rise significantly. Other than that, Dustin, yeah, it seems to me that those guys will be your starters, and we'll see how it plays out. I mean, obviously that, you know, I think that both of those guys are good players, but we just don't know a ton about what they're going to do when the bright lights come on consistently week in and week out.
Yeah, but what Penn State does have, if those are your, and you throw Aaron Monroe out there and John Patrician, depth is not the problem at safety.
Right.
I think it's ironing out your two starters and having impact guys back there. Are you going to have impact guys back there? But Lamont Wade, Jonathan Sutherland, Aaron Monroe, Patrician, you've got a lot of good options.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's just not a whole lot of falling off between your top one and two, and then your numbers, you know, five and six at that group. In that respect, it's a good spot to be in, but somebody, you need starters there. You need guys who separate themselves from the rest. And Garrett Taylor, Nick Scott look like it could be it, but I wouldn't count Lamont Wade out of anything.
No, I think he starts as the nickelback, if nothing else, and he'll see the field plenty in 2017 or 2018 rather. He's a guy that in 2017 showed what he was able to be and showed potential and things like that. So keep a close eye out for him. His playing time will be on the right side of things this year.
And with Taylor and Wade, you got some real run and cover type guys there that Penn State hasn't really had there at the safety spots. All right, we got one more segment to go here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're taking your Penn State football and recruiting questions. Ask Greg is coming up next. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all-you-can-eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.